Hello, my name is Doug Varro, president of loanofficerstore.com. My mission is to make sure that your loan officers get the proper training. I'm sure, as you know, there's lots of loan officers that are in the marketplace today that don't have a clear understanding of how the products work. And if you don't know the product, it's very difficult to be able to speak to a customer properly. Therefore, my mission is to make sure that they have a basic understanding of products, rate sheets, etc. Today's module, we're going to talk about how adjustable rate mortgages work. Since there's so many different types of adjustable rate mortgages, I'm only going to work on one, which is a simple one, an FHA ARM. If you've already downloaded the FHA ARM worksheet that I provided with this training, I want you to follow along with it. The top of it says FHA ARM worksheet, and it has two different years on it. There's a top portion and a bottom portion, and we're going to go through it. Now, the reason why I use this particular ARM is it's simple to understand. The rest of the ARMs that are out there, once you understand how this ARM works, pretty much you'll understand how all the ARMs work. Now, sometimes as I train around the country, I get this question: we don't sell ARMs, why do I have to learn about it? Now, obviously, most people sell ARMs. I'm talking about other products that are out there that, the option ARM. Oh, we don't sell that. Why would we have to know about that? Well, I always figure this way. If you want to be an excellent salesperson, you have to know what the other product is to either sell the product or sell against it. Obviously, if you don't have the product, you need to know how to sell against the product. Well, what we're going to do here with this FHA ARM worksheet is first I'm going to show you how we figure out the rate, and then I'm going to give you some examples here, and I'm going to let you work on them yourself, and then I'll go through them step by step and actually give you the answers. Now, one of the first things for all adjustable rate mortgages, otherwise known as ARMs or variable rate mortgages, and you'll see the word variable on usually the documents, especially from the title company, and it all means the same thing. The interest rate can change. Doesn't mean that it will change. Most oftentimes it does change, but there are periods of times where it'll remain flat. But that's the exception rather than the rule. Now, as far as adjustable rate mortgages go compared to fixed rate mortgages, variable rate mortgages or adjustable rate mortgages generally will have a much lower starting rate than a fixed rate. And that's because the borrower has more risk with an adjustable rate mortgages, and the lender has less risk. The lender has less risk because as interest rates go up, your interest rate goes up, and their margin or their profit margin will largely stay somewhat intact. Whereas if they gave you a very low fixed rate and interest rates went up, the bank is now at risk because they cannot raise your interest rate. Because the borrower takes that risk, they get what's called a teaser rate or a lower initial start rate. And we'll get to that in a second. Here's how the final rate is adjusted to on adjustable rate mortgages. First, there's a formula to figure out what the rate wants to go to. And the formula for that is index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. The loan always wants to be at the fully indexed rate. The reason that the banks want it to be at the fully indexed rate means that they're making their full profit margin. If the loan cannot adjust as high as the fully indexed rate, the bank makes less than their full profit. We'll talk about if it can go over that amount in just a second. So the formula is index plus margin equals a fully indexed rate. Now, index, let's talk about an index for a second. An index, there's many types of indexes that are out there. You have the COFI, which is the cost of funds index. You have LIBOR, the London Interbank Overnight Rate. You have the T-bills. There's a bunch of them that are out there. Any one of these indexes can be used by the bank or the lender. And they'll pick and choose that, and you'll see that on your rate sheets. Sometimes when you go to your rate sheet, you'll see four or five different types of indexes that are being used. And you'll need to pick the index in order to figure out the fully indexed rate so that you'll be able to qualify your borrower. In the example of this FHA ARM worksheet, FHA traditionally uses the T-bill or the Treasury as their index. So we're going to use an index there. Now I've made up the, you know, what the indexes are at, the rates. I just made them up. It's just an example. But once you get that down, you'll be able to understand what's going on. Now the margin is what the bank wants to make. The bank wants to make a profit on the money they lend, just like anyone selling any product wants to make a profit margin. There are people that work in, say, the jewelry business, and they work on a profit margin called Keystone. So if they paid $1,000 for a ring, Keystone means that they want to mark it up 100%, and they paid $1,000, so they sell it for $2,000. They marked it up 100%. Well, the banks, they work on percentages, you know, 1%, 2%, 3%. In this particular FHA ARM, the margin is set at 2.75. Now, the margin will never change once the loan closes. The margin will always remain the same. What does change is the index. The index will fluctuate daily, weekly, monthly, and they'll make their adjustments in this particular case every year. There are adjustable rate mortgages that adjust every month, every 6 months, every 2 years. It's just the duration of time that it is. This particular product, once a year. And they'll go back and they'll look at the index maybe 30 or 45 days prior to the next change on the mortgage that you have or that you've given. And they'll determine what the rate's going to be, and they'll send that out to the borrower with the new rate for their payments. So the formula is index, and we have to look at the index. And the index, by the way, just so you know, in case you're taking any tests for any of the states, North Carolina, you know, any of the states, really doesn't matter. If they ever ask a question about the index that's used always has to be outside of the control of the lender. In other words, the lender cannot determine what the index will be. It has to be something that's readily available, newspaper, television, internet, but outside the control of the lender. Otherwise, the lender can make the index anything that they want. So the index, again, we talked about that, the cost of funds index, you know, any one of them, plus the margin that is set on the FHA or whatever adjustable rate mortgage it is, and it could be set at 2, 3, 3.5, 6, whatever the margin is set at, that will remain the same. Now, the higher the margin is set on the loan, the more the payments can grow. And, you know, the larger the payment is, because it's an adjustable rate mortgage, it has to do with the interest rate, that's all interest being paid to the bank as profit. So the higher the margin, basically it's the higher the profit margin the bank wants to make, which will make the borrower's payments go much higher. So a lower margin is beneficial to the borrower, taking into account only the fact that we're working on the back end. We're not talking about any upfront points to the borrower. Because if a borrower is not bringing any cash or paying any money at closing on this loan, and we have to pay for closing costs and profit, well, that has to come somewhere, and generally it will come on the back end. So the benefit to the borrower is they don't have to bring any money to closing. They get a higher margin, which will give them a higher payment, but the lender is going to be making more money on that loan on the back end, and they'll share that with the broker. The broker then can keep it as profit or take part as profit and pay the closing costs of the loan. This particular series is not about front end, back end, so to speak, you know, how to work with the borrower on that. We just want to get through how the adjustments actually take place. So taking a look at the index plus margin again, you do index plus margin, and that will give you your fully indexed rate. The fully indexed rate is where the loan wants to go to. It doesn't necessarily mean that it can go there, because we have something called caps that will stop us from going too far in one adjustment. It's sort of a safety net for the borrower. Without the safety net in place, you know, a loan could go from, you know, 1% to 10% the next month, and the payments could, you know, triple or quadruple, And that really benefits no one, because then the borrower cannot afford to make the payments, and the lender would have to foreclose. So the caps are there in place to protect the borrower. Let's take a look at this FHA ARM worksheet now. And you'll notice that on the top, it says 1 year Treasury ARM with 1 in 5 caps and a 2.75 margin. Looking down at example number 2, it's the exact same loan. And we're going to go through both scenarios. The reason why I broke it up into two scenarios, if you look where it says T-bill on the top one, you see it's 4.7 and 4.7 for the second year and 4.5. And so there's very little fluctuation in the T-bill. Example number 2 is real life. If anybody remembers in the 80s, if you're old enough to remember, great. Otherwise, the rest of you had to read about it in the papers. But interest rates went wild. I think I'm going to make a CD on that and sell it on late night TV. When interest rates went wild, I'll sell it at 2 o'clock in the morning. But interest rates, if you guys remember, went to 18% on home mortgages. It was really crazy. So we're going to see how the same product actually works in two entirely different environments. So you'll get an idea of whether or not the ARM is a good product to sell to the borrower or not, depending on the environment that's out there. I'll just throw this in about option ARMs. I always ask this question of all the students when I train around the country. Is an option ARM a good loan or a bad loan? And invariably, half the class or more will always answer that it's a bad product. And they think it's a bad product because a lot of people are struggling or having problems making those payments. But the true answer is, it depends. You see, the product itself is not a bad product. It's when a loan officer puts the wrong borrower together with the wrong product for them. And that's what makes a bad deal. The product itself, the option ARM or an ARM, is not necessarily a bad product. It's a good product for the right type of borrower. So we're going to go into option ARMs a little bit later on a separate training program. And you'll understand a whole lot more about how the option ARM works once we get through the FHA ARM worksheet. So let's read this slowly. It's a 1 year Treasury ARM with 1 in 5 caps and 2.75 margin. So let's dissect this slowly. How often does this loan change or modify? Well, the answer is once a year, because it tells you it's a 1 year loan. Not that it's a 1 year loan, it's amortized over 30 years, but the adjustment period takes place every year. Now, it could be a 6 month, whatever it is, but in this particular case, it's 1 year. So every year, this will have an adjustment. It may go up, it may go down, it may stay level, and we'll see that. So once a year. What is the index that this particular product is working off of? And the answer is, it's a Treasury. And you can find those in the newspaper or Wall Street Journal, anywhere, so you know what the T-bills are at the time. It says that it's an ARM, so we know it's an adjustable rate mortgage product, with 1 in 5 caps. Now, let's break down what the caps mean. 1 in 5 caps. The 1, the first number, is what's called a periodic rate change cap. In other words, the cap means it's the most the interest rate can go up on that loan per adjustment period. The reason why I don't say per year is because if this was a 6 month loan, or it changed every 6 months, that periodic rate cap could actually go up 2% in 1 year, because every 6 months there could be an adjustment. And if it went up the max in 6 months, and 6 months later it went up the max again, that's 2% in a year. So it's called the periodic rate cap. And trust me, I've taken enough of the state tests, Illinois, North Carolina, a lot of these states. And that's a question that comes up a lot on adjustable rate mortgages. The index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. And the caps also come up. So this is called the periodic rate change cap. The most it could go up or down in 1 year. The 5 is what's called a lifetime cap. The lifetime cap means that over the life of the loan, The most that this loan could ever go up, the interest rate from where it started out, is 5% above the start rate. 2.75 margin. Above that word margin, you can actually write the word profit. The bank wants to make about 2.75% profit on the money that they lend out. Now, if they made it 7, there'd be a lot more profit on the back end of this loan because the borrower's payments could go a much higher. But for the most part, most FHA ARMs are somewhere around a 2.75 margin. All right, let's start with example number one with mildly fluctuating rates. You'll see over on the left-hand side, I have 5.5 start rate. And what the start rate is, it's called many things with adjustable rate mortgages. It's called the start rate. It's called the floor rate, because the interest rate can never go below what the floor rate is. It's also called the teaser rate. The reason why they call it a teaser rate is because, generally speaking, it's lower than what the fixed rates are at the time, and they want to tease you into taking this loan with a much lower rate. Then we move on to what the T-bill is at the end of the first year, and I have 4.7% as the T-bill currently after the loan has closed. And we're going to see what the adjustments are at the end of the first year all the way through the first 6 years of this type of a loan. So what I want you to do is I want you to fill out this worksheet as best you can. I want you to figure out at the end of the first year, that blank space on the right-hand side, I want you to put in what you think the interest rate will adjust to. Then that interest rate is really the beginning of the second year. All right, so you would put whatever the interest rate is at the beginning of the second year under the 5.5. On the second year, you'd put in what interest rate you ended with at the end of the first year, and then make your adjustments again and see what the interest rate would be at the end of the second year. And so if you're listening to this CD somewhere where you can readily pause it and then work out those first 6 years, work them out as best you can, and then come back and turn the CD on, and we'll go through it, and let's see how well you did. Don't forget, you should write down this formula before you start. Index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. If you don't use index plus margin equals fully indexed rate, you're going to be stuck. All right, welcome back. Let's see how you worked it out. All right. At the end of the first year, the answer is 6.5%. Now, if you got that answer, but you don't know how you got that answer, if what you did was you just automatically added 1% because the periodic rate cap was 1%, well, you got the correct answer, but you didn't get it correct because you did it the right way. Let's go through it the way the banks do it, the lenders do it. And even though we're going to go through the first 6 years, you know, you may not be speaking to your borrowers about each particular year what their loan will be. You might give them what the max might be, to expect, something like that. You're not going to actually sit down and figure this out with the borrowers. But the more that you know about how a product actually works internally, the better a loan officer you'll be. You'll actually not be what I consider a loan officer. You'll become what I call a loan analyst or a senior loan analyst. I mean, there are some guys that call themselves loan advisors. Okay, I'm good with that. Barry Habib, who I think is an excellent trainer, he calls his people trusted advisors, and I couldn't agree more. If you become a trusted advisor for your borrower, you're going to do a lot more loans with them, and they're going, you're just going to set up a nice little networking thing where people will come to you to get advice on what to do with their loans. All right, so here's how we came up with the answer 6.5%. First thing that we have to do is we have to see what the T-bill is at the adjustment period. So at the end of the first year, I'm saying that the T-bill is at 4.7%. Well, why is that important? Well, because we have to apply the index plus margin equals fully indexed rate formula to that. So since that's the index, it's 4.7% plus the margin. In this particular case, it's 2.75, and that equals what's called the fully indexed rate. It's where the loan wants to go to. So 4.7 plus 2.75 equals 7.45, the fully indexed rate where the loan wants to go to. Now, this is where the caps come into play. We now have to ask ourselves, first of all, where are we currently? Well, currently we are at 5.5%. That's where we started the loan at. So we have to ask ourselves, can we go from 5.5% all the way to the fully indexed rate of 7.45% without violating any of the caps? And the answer is no. If we went from 5.5 to 7.45, that would be almost a 2% jump in interest rate. And the caps stop us at no more than 1%. Therefore, if we're at 5.5, even though the loan wants to go to 7.45, the cap, the periodic cap, stops us from going all the way up to 7.45, and we stop at 6.5. That's the 1% cap above the 5.5 that we're at currently. So now we're at 6.5. So that person would see at the end of their first year, or technically the beginning of their second year, they would see a notice that say that on month 13 your payment is going to be going up, your interest rate is going to be going up to 6.5%, and your new payment will be this. On this type of an adjustable rate mortgage, there is no option to pay anything else. Well, you could pay more if you like, but it's not one of the options that's really given to you. You could always pay a little bit more on your mortgage. But like the option arm, the option gives you actually four different options to pay: the minimum payment, the interest only, the 30-year, or the 15-year payment. On the FHA arm, really, your interest rate changes and now you have a new payment, and that payment stays that amount for the entire year. There's no negative AM or anything like that. All right, so we start out year number two at 6.5%. Now we have to go through the same adjustments, to see what the interest rate would adjust to at the end of the second year. Now you'll notice that I have the T-bill exactly at 4.7% again. Now that doesn't mean that the T-bills stayed at 4.7 for the entire year. I mean, somewhere during the year they could have went up to 5.5, they could have went down to 3.25. A million things could have happened, but at the time of the adjustment that's going to be made, it happened to be 4.7%, exactly the same as the first year. So a lot of loan officers think, well, if there's no change in the T-bill, the interest rate would stay at 6.5%. And again, that's not a correct answer. The correct answer is 7.45. Now, let's see how that worked out. First thing that we have to do is apply our formula. Index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. Index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. So the index, again, 4.7%. We're going to add our margin of 2.75, and we come up again with a fully indexed rate of 7.45. It's where the loan wants to go to. Then we have to ask ourselves, can we get there from where we are? Well, we're currently at 6.5 or 6.5%. Can we go up to 7.45 without violating the periodic rate cap? And the answer is yes, because the cap would allow us to go all the way up to 7.5, but we can't go to 7.5. We can only go to 7.45. Otherwise, we'd be violating the margin. The margin stops us at 2.75. So going from 6.5 to 7.45 is less than the 1% cap. You're allowed to change anything up to the limit of the cap as long as you're not violating the cap or the margin. So 6.5, we go to 7.45. We start out the third year at 7.45. In this particular year, the T-bill actually went down a little bit. So we apply our formula, index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. So 4.5 plus 2.75 equals 7.25. 7.25 is the fully indexed rate. It's where the loan wants to go to. And at that rate, the bank is making its full profit of 2.75. So can we go from 7.45 to 7.25 without violating any of the rules? Well, the answer is yes. That's less than 1% going down. So we go from 7.45 to 7.25. That's our adjustment at the end of the third year and, of course, the beginning of year four. Now, I don't want to be too technical, but in reality, when the banks make these adjustments, they actually adjust up or down to the nearest eighth or the nearest 0.125 without violating the caps or the margins. So if it was to put them over, they would have to actually use the lesser of so that they don't violate those rules. We're not doing it here because we're not going to be splitting hairs. You understand how this works, how the adjustments happen. And what you can see here is that the borrower from the first year, when they first took out their loan, at the end of the first year, they actually went up a full 1%. The second year, they went up, but not quite a full 1%. And in the third year, something happened that sometimes happens in FHA ARMs or any type of an ARM like similar to this. The actual rate went down and the borrower's payment would go down. So here we are at year four. We're at 7.25. And if you do your index plus margin, you'll come up with a fully indexed rate of 7.5, because 4.75 and 2.75 equals 7.5 or 7.5. The next question is, can we go from 7.25 to 7.5 without violating any of the caps? And the answer is yes, because that's only a quarter of a point jump and we have a cap of 1%. So the end of the fourth year, the adjustment goes to 7.5%. We start out year five at 7.5%. T-bill stays the same. See, from year four to year five, the T-bill didn't change. Same as year one to year two, the T-bill didn't change. Now, you notice that in year one to year two, there was an increase in the interest rate of the loan. Let's see what happens here. We start out at 7.5%. The T-bill did not change. It's at 4.75. Our margin stays, of course, the same at 2.75, which gives us a fully indexed rate of 7.5. 7.5 is the fully indexed rate where the loan wants to go to make its full profit. Well, where are we currently? Well, we're at 7.5%. Can we go from 7.5 to 7.5 without violating any of the caps? I know it's a silly question, but you have to ask it. The answer is, well, we're already there. We're at the fully indexed rate already. So there would be no change. So from year four to year five, there would be no change in the interest rate on that loan. Now, the borrower may see a slight decrease in their payment, possibly a dollar or two, whatever it is, because there's less principal balance that interest rate is being charged to. But, you know, that's really getting technical. We're worried about their interest rate. Their interest rate has not changed from year four to year five. All right, here's the big one now. We're in the sixth year. This one a lot of loan officers get wrong. And I'll tell you, I'll say about half the loan officers when I do the training initially get the answer wrong, even though they're starting to get what's happening here. By the fourth and fifth year, they're pretty good at figuring out what the new rate's going to be. Well, year six, we start out at 7.5%, and the T-bill went up slightly to 5%, and we figure out our new fully indexed rate, and it comes to 7.75%. 5% plus 2.75 equals 7.75%. And the question is, can we go from 7.5 to 7.75 without violating any of the caps? Now, here's what a lot of loan officers come up with, and you tell me if this is what you came up with. Did you answer 7.5%? Because if you did, you're wrong. I know why you did it. You think that the cap, the 5 cap, is 5 years. In other words, after the fifth year, there's no more adjustments. Well, that's not true. The 5 is what's called a lifetime cap. It's not a yearly cap or a number of years. So over the life of this loan, if this one was amortized over 30 years, the most it could go up over the 30 years would be 5% above the 5.5 start rate. So we know we can make the adjustment even though we're in the sixth year. And here's the way it works. We're at 7.5. The new fully indexed rate is 7.75. That's only a quarter of a point higher. Our periodic rate cap is only 1%. The rate that we're looking to go to is only a quarter of a point jump, which is well below the 1% cap that we have. And so the new adjustment or the new rate would be 7.75%. By the way, if you got all of those right, give yourselves a pat on the back. I'm going to tell you right now that I've seen experienced loan officers with as much as 15 years or more in the business that don't actually know how to figure this out. I know that sounds surprising, but it's true. I mean, loan officers don't know everything there is, no matter how long they're in the business. You don't know everything that goes on. Perhaps you were never trained, you were never taught, you just got by on knowing enough. But knowing really how this thing works in depth, you have no idea how much it will help you with your sales to your borrower, making the correct deals, explaining to your borrowers what's going on. You know, you don't want to keep your borrowers in the dark. If you can explain to your borrowers what's going on, they can make an intelligent decision. And quite honestly, whatever product works best for them is really the product that you want to give them, because a sale is a sale, but you don't want to make your borrowers bloody. You don't want to hurt them just for the sake of profit. If you do that, you know, you're just basically going to be a one-trick pony, and you're not going to build up, you know, referrals and that kind of stuff. All right, let's go on to the second example here. Again, it's the same exact adjustable rate mortgage that we're going to give this borrower, except we're going to be talking about the index going crazy. And again, in the 80s, when I bought my first house down in Port Charlotte, Florida, interest rates at that time were as high as 18% when you purchase the house, even refinance. I was fortunate enough at the time, I read a book by Robert Allen on No Money Down, and I was able to buy a house in Port Charlotte on the water, Charlotte Harbor, with a seawall canal, from owners that had their house paid off, and I was able to get an interest only, a 7-year balloon. My mortgage payment with that interest only was less than it cost to rent at a lot of places. Had I not read that book, I would not have known that I could have done that. And it saved me a ton of money, and I was able to buy a house right on the water. It was fantastic. So, again, you know, you learn things from those that have done before you. So let's go on to example number 2. Hopefully, you've already filled out example number 2. If you have not done example number 2, then pause the CD and come back to us when you're done. All right, welcome back. Let's go on here. We're going to start the rate at 5.5%, so it's exactly the same start rate as example number 1. Now we have a 5.5 start rate. You'll notice that the T-bill is exactly what it was in example number 1. We're at 4.7%. Did you come up with 6.5% for the end of the first year? Hopefully you did. And you came up with that by using the formula index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. So index 4.7, margin 2.75 equals 7.45, the fully indexed rate. It's where the loan wants to go to. So at the end of the first year, we're at 6.5%. Now take a look at the T-bill for year number 2. It's made a dramatic increase. It went from 4.7% to 7.5%. Remember, in example number one, it stayed the same pretty much. Here in this example, interest rates are going wild. This is a period just after the banks were deregulated by the government. And so the interest rates were able to compete in the market. And in order to compete for investors' money or depositors' money, it wasn't giving away toasters anymore. Hey, come get a toaster if you open up a bank account with us. Now they actually had to say, hey, I'll give you more of an interest rate on your money. So in order to compete in the marketplace, you know, one bank would go to 5, another one would go to 6, 8, 10, and rates went absolutely crazy. So here the T-bill is actually going up. We're starting out year number 2 at 6.5%. What did you come up with for an answer at the end of year 2? Well, hopefully you came up with 7.5% or 7.5%. What we do again, and I go over this a million times, and when I do my trainings, I train using what's called the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. In other words, let's not make it overcomplicated. I also like to learn by actually physically doing something rather than just watching it or listening. That's why I provide the worksheet for you. Well, here we are at the end of year 2. We're at 7.5%. Now, you'll also notice in comparison to the example number 1, when we went from year 1 to year 2, in example number 1, we didn't quite go up the full 1%. However, even though this is the exact same loan in example number 2, because the environment is different and the T-bills are changing wildly, we actually went up to the full 1% for the periodic rate cap from 6.5% to 7.5%. Now, in example number 1, the bank at the end of year number 2 is making its fully indexed rate. It's making its full profit margin. The rate went to 7.45, which was the fully indexed rate, and the bank's making 2.75 profit margin. But if you look at example number 2, the bank is actually having some problems here. The bank wants to be at 10.25 to make its fully indexed rate, but the most it was allowed to go up was only 1% because of that periodic rate cap. So here the bank is actually making nothing. It's costing them money to do this loan, basically. They're not making any profit on this loan. They want to be at 10.25, but they're only allowed to go to 7.5. Year number 3, we start out at 7.5, and at the end of the third year, the answer should be 8.5%. How did we get there? Again, index plus margin equals fully indexed rate. That formula never changes. Index of 9, margin of 2.75, a fully indexed rate of 11.75. It's where the loan wants to go to. We're currently at 7.5. Can we go from 7.5 to 11.75 without violating any of the caps? And the cap that we're concerned about is the periodic rate cap of 1%. The answer is no. We cannot go above the 1%. So we go from 7.5 to 8.5. We start out year number 4 at 8.5. Index plus margin equals fully indexed rate of 14.25%. Because the T-bill is now at 11.5. 11.5 and 2.75 is 14.25. Again, the fully indexed rate is very high. We ask ourselves, can we go from 8.5 to 14.25 without violating the periodic rate cap? The answer is no. We would be violating the cap if we went to 14.25. Therefore, we can only go up the maximum of 1%. We go to 9.5% at the end of the fourth adjustment. We start out year 5 at 9.5. The T-bill continues to go up. It's now at 12.5. The index of 12.5 plus the margin of 2.75 equals a fully indexed rate of 15.25. Next question, can we go from 9.5 to 15.25 without violating any of the caps? Again, the answer is no. We're capped out at 1% on the periodic rate cap adjustment. Therefore, we go from 9.5 to 10.5. We're now at 10.5 at the end of year 5. We start out year 6 at 10.5%. And again, this one tricks a lot of people too. What did you come up with an answer for the interest rate at the end of year 6? Well, the correct answer is 10.5%. If you came up with 11.5, well, what you did was you made a mistake of just going up the maximum 1 point on the periodic rate. Well, that adjustment works until you reach another cap, which is the lifetime cap. In other words, the most that this loan could ever go up is 5% over the life of the loan from the original start rate. Since we started out at 5.5%, the most we could ever go up to would be 10.5 or 10.5%. Since we've already reached our maximum, no matter how high the T-bill or the index in this case would go, and the fully indexed rate could go to 1,000, it wouldn't matter. The interest rate on this loan is capped at a lifetime cap of 10.5%. Therefore, 15% for the T-bill or the index plus 2.75 for the margin equals 17.75, which is the fully indexed rate. But we're already at the max of 10.5. Therefore, there's no change. And it's a little different than the first one where people got stuck on the sixth year saying, well, we reached our cap in year 5. Again, it's not a yearly cap. The lifetime cap is the cap over the life of the loan. Now, let's answer these questions down here. Name two differences between example 1 and example 2. All right. Let's see. I have that in example number 1, the rate actually went down in year number 3. So even though it's an adjustable rate mortgage, most people think that adjustables only go up, and that's not true. That's not accurate. There are times when adjustable rate mortgages will stay flat or actually go down. So that's one difference. The next difference is the rate capped out at 10.5 in the sixth year. Not because it was year 6 or year 5 or year 8. It's just that it happened to reach the cap in that year, but that's the lifetime cap that it reached. Now, if you're looking to sell a borrower a fixed rate mortgage and you're looking to tell them, you know, kind of scare them as to, you know, how high their adjustable rate could go, or you want to give them the differences between that is really the best way. Say, look, here's an adjustable rate. This might be the best program for you in your situation because you need the lower payments. However, if you're not looking forward to paying these higher payments in the future, perhaps a better option would be to take this fixed rate with a little bit higher payment now, but down the road you don't have to worry about your payments escalating. And that might be a good presentation for you to give your borrower. And in that case, you might want to give them the worst case scenario. You show them that they go from 5.5 to 6.5, 7.5, all the way up to the max of 10.5, and show them what their payment could be in 5 years. Then the borrower can make a decision. Maybe they're only going to be in this ARM for 2 years for whatever reason, and they're willing to take it. But if they're informed, you don't have problems at closing. You don't get that rescission. You don't get "I wasn't told." The best thing to do is inform your borrower of all of these things up front and let them make a decision, because they're intelligent adults. And if they're not intelligent about mortgages, you make them intelligent about it, understanding what the product is, so that you take away that fear factor and that closing anxiety, and you won't have problems with rescission. Now, on question number 2, name two other types of indexes commonly used in the ARM mortgages. And we actually went over this at the beginning of the training here. But you have the COFI, which is the Cost of Funds Index, the LIBOR, the London Interbank Overnight or Offer Rate. You got the Treasury Bill. You got MTA, which is the Monthly Treasury Average, which is generally used on option ARMs or pick-a-payment ARMs. Goes by many names. Negative AM. which in the next section is what we're going to go over. We're going to go over how an adjustable, how a option arm actually works. And by doing this section first, understanding about index plus margin equals fully index rate, and understanding how this arm works will help you immensely with the pick a payment or option arm. And I suggest that you go on to that one next while this is all fresh in your mind. Again, thank you for listening to this free portion of the training. You'll find other trainings on my site at loanofficersstore.com. There is a package, the boot camp training for loan officers. It's especially good for loan officers that are 5 years or less in the business. It trains them step by step on how to use a calculator, how to do P&I payments, etc., etc. So take a look at that. There's also credit repair and how to fix credit on my site. Please feel free to look through there. And if you want, you can always get in touch with me by sending an email to info@loanofficersstore.com. Again, info@loanofficersstore.com. Let me know how you like the training.